Bringing it back, DeRosie on the house. Took a call during the break. It was a woman. She says, you got to help me. My man's out at the Phoenix Open. I want to put together a Valentine gift box for him so he can finish my master bedroom closet.
Mom called in?
You got a spouse out at the Phoenix Open? You want help? You got a little project you've been trying to get done around the house? Give us a call. We can talk you through that project. We can talk you through the parts and pieces you'll need. And then you can gift wrap it all up next weekend and give it to that person as a Valentine's gift. Here's the master bedroom closet you've been waiting for all your life. I thought that was a pretty funny call. Let's get to Darren in Santan on drywall. We've got Peggy in Tucson and an open line for you. 1-888-767-4348. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You bet, man. What you got going on out there in Santan?
So we moved into a house built by a big builder out here in the East Valley. We've been in here for about 4 months. The house was built in 2007. I noticed right when we ceiling in the garage, and they run all along the roof trusses. And then lately, it looks like they're moving into the house inside. So and along the stairwell and the upstairs family room, I see the same exact lines and sagging and cracks along the roof trusses. And I don't know what causes that or how to fix it.
Well, when we're looking at cracks, Darren, are we looking at cracks that are as wide as a pencil lead or wide as a pencil?
Probably a pencil lead.
Okay. All right.
But so, they're getting bigger.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you've been in the house 4 months?
About 4 months. Yeah.
And the house is 8 years old?
7 years old.
Okay. And those areas that are cracking, Darren, can you tell, were they repaired prior to the prior homeowner listing and selling the house? Sometimes you can kind of tell that there's a fresh patch there. Any indication
no.
of that?
Doesn't look, no, none of them look like there's any fresh patches on them.
Okay, that's good. And then have you changed any of the watering pattern, the landscaping, moved plants any closer to the house than the prior owner had?
No, the only thing I've done is taken some plants out of the outside.
And as you take those plants out, are you killing the irrigation to those particular locations?
Yeah, they're on drip lines, so I put a plug in the end of those drip lines.
Okay, you're doing all the right things. All I can tell you at this point is track those cracks. I would take photographs of them now, and then let's take a look at them again in 90 days. If you'd like to send those photographs to us at info@rosieonthehouse.com, just put Darren and Santan in the subject line because we'll get a couple hundred emails over the weekend. But if you'll put that in there, then I'll jump to it real quick without having to scroll through the rest. I'll get to it early next week. If I'm seeing something that I'd be concerned about, I'll let you know. But it's not unusual, even for a 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old home, to be moving just a little bit, particularly up in the trusses. Are the cracks primarily right along the ceilings or where the ceiling line meets the wall line?
No, right along the ceilings. I've got one that's going down into the wall, and the actual wall is cracking.
Okay. Is that the one in the garage?
Yes.
Okay. Send me a picture of those, Darren, and let me see what I can tell you by looking at them on my computer. And I'll do that first thing Tuesday morning, and then I'll get back to you through the email. Okay, man?
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, it really is not unusual for a home to be moving. I was visiting with someone on a sales call just this last week where the homeowner had been in the home 25 years, and he has a crack over an arch that leads into his kitchen, and it's been repaired 3 or 4 times, and it's back. He just can't stop it. it's just an engineered weak link in the design of the home, and it happens. And as long as they're not getting as thick as a pencil, and as long as you're not seeing the crack in the stem wall foundation, you're probably okay.
could be engineered, could have been the last thing the framers did that day and cut a corner at the end of it and maybe miss one extra bolt anchor or something. I mean, there's many, many variables that go into that.
The only question I had about Darren's is the fact that it's traveling. It's going from his garage into the house, and that traveling kind of raises some alarm, because when you are looking at determining whether a house is settling or whether the foundation is heaving, when the problem starts traveling through or across a home, that's when you have to start really looking and digging deep.
So, and you know what? The first thing I think when I hear that is probably post-tension. I'm not
maybe.
Bad about the post-tension, but it just seems like they can travel farther because it's all tied together, whereas opposed to no cabling, it's a horizontal lift. It doesn't teeter. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. It's just an observation.
Post-tension does introduce a whole new ripple to the effect. That's for sure.
Ah, ripple.
So there's Darren. We've taken care of him. That opens the line for you at 1-888-767-4348 while we run down to Tucson and visit with Peggy. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. I'm wondering if it's going to be warm enough. Is 80 degrees okay to put the white coating on your roof?
Yeah, that temperature is fine, but again, know this, even the more important issue is the existing roof must be completely dry and make sure it's primed well before you put the top coating on.
What do you mean by primed?
Are y'all going to do this yourself, or are you going to pay to have it done? Okay. Well, a lot of times, how old is the coating that's on your roof right now?
Well, we did a coating last year.
Oh. Well,
you don't need to. A primer is just a bonding agent to make sure the coating sticks, but going over existing coating.
We've done it many times, but we've never done it this time of year. It's always been like in the heat of the summer when it's real warm.
And are you doing it annually? Do you coat your roof every year?
No, we're doing it when we think we need to, but we have done it quite a few times.
Okay. Well, I would guess, depending on the product you used last year, it'd be unusual that the coating would only last 1 year. You ought to be able to get a couple years out of that. You're not experiencing any kind of roof leaking or anything, are you?
We had a windstorm, and it took a cooler, and it rammed it, rolled it across the roof.
Yes.
And
well,
so
yeah.
We thought we should probably.
Yeah, you're right.
Dick, we've already fixed where it took it off, and he already fixed the area.
Yeah.
But it probably, we thought maybe we should clean that up.
Well, the fact that y'all have been doing this on a regular basis and you've got several coats up there, you're probably familiar with how clean it needs to be. And most people don't realize how clean the roof needs to be. I mean, when a foam roofer is up there recoating a roof, I mean, they literally power wash the dirt and debris off the roof. They take a stiff brush and brush it all off. And then they take a powerful air blower and they blow all the moisture off. And then they like the sun to hit it for a good 2 or 3 days to completely dry it. Once it's completely dry, it's been cleaned, then you can roll it. But your question specifically, is it warm enough at 80? Yes, it is. You know what, Peggy? It really is the perfect temperature because it's not too hot for you, the applicator, and it's not too cold for the product, the roof coating. So go ahead and roof coat to your heart's delight.
I better give away these Sun Devil tickets.
Sun Devils and Stanford.
Yes, sir.
Basketball game.
On the 11th, I believe, February 11th.
Okay.
Yeah, because we had to give them away before next Saturday because it would be too late. Next Saturday, ASU Sun Devils at, is that Gamage? What do they call that?
It's not Gamage.
No, it's not. That's the
Performing Arts Center.
Gosh. But it's on campus, obviously. Not far from the Sun Devil Stadium. I'm not going to do text because we've got another contest running on text. It would be too convoluted. This one, we're going to run it through the newsletter. So email newsletter@rosieonthehouse.com. The email address, newsletter@rosieonthehouse.com. One of our top click-throughs of our Thursday newsletter was to Mama's Meatballs. It was a a feature they did with Jan D'Autry, and we played the interview earlier. What is Jan D'Autry's secret 2-tablespoon ingredient for her meatballs?
Get us the answer to that.
Email newsletter at rosieonthehouse.com, and you'll get 2 tickets with a parking pass to Sun Devils against Stanford next Saturday night, February 11th.
Sounds like fun.
All right. Let's get to our next caller, Pam in Mesa. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning, Miss Pam.
My husband and I have a tract home, 70s tract home in Dobson Ranch, and we are redoing the hallway bathroom. And we're kind of on a quest to do it. It's just mostly we just want to be as cheap as we think and can. And we got a screaming deal on a drop-in soaking tub that basically it was the same price as one of those little slide-in alcove tubs. And we were wanting a deeper tub. Our worry is we're going to slide it in. My husband's really good. He's got the deck built and everything. He's planning on putting a bladder behind it, but we're a little bit concerned behind the Duroc and the tile, are we going to have a problem with leaking if we end up putting a shower in there? Because it doesn't have that flange that goes up underneath the tile like most of them do. We took out one of the one-piece really ugly fiberglass things.
Uh-huh. So we're putting in a soaking tub that will also have a shower access that is surrounded by a wood-frame deck that you're going to Duroc and then tile.
Right.
Did I get all that?
You got that.
Okay. And then we're going to put a shower curtain or a glass door up outside of that deck. And you're concerned when I'm in the tub showering and the body spray is landing on that tile, will I have a problem?
Right.
Okay. You will probably get some moisture penetration, but not to the point that you would need to put in a vinyl pan or anything like that. I would tell you, consider once the grout is in, to seal it up real good and get in the habit of doing that about once or twice a year. It's a very simple maintenance project you can tackle, and you'll probably be fine. You should not have to vinyl line your deck.
Okay, we were worried about specifically like where the tile goes onto that tub deck. Instead of it being a flange like normal tub would have, to where the tile would go down over that flange of the tub,
yes,
there's nothing. So if we put like a real thick bead of silicone there behind that, would that help?
It, at that point, is the tub sloping up and out?
No, it's going straight up. Drop in tub. It's a straight drop in tub, so it's going to be right up against that. Well, obviously, we'll have enough space for the tile, but it's going to be right up against that stud and the Duroc.
Yeah, I would still tell you the only time you're going to be exposed to any moisture there is when the shower water just kind of splashing off your back.
Right.
So it isn't going to be a lot of water. And when you're running the deck up there and you set the tub and you're running the tile, just a good bead of caulk between the tile and the tub ought to be fine. Watch it when you're sealing the grout regularly. Check that caulk line, and you should be fine.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Can we get pictures of before and after for the Pam do-it-yourself bathroom remodel?
Well, I got to tell you, we are down to studs now, and I left the house because he was jackhammering, and I got a paper due tomorrow night. So.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for the call.